I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle mood on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitation.
Well, hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation. Now, quantum physics tells us that we are all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We are your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is also the promoter producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair, returning to the Monterey Fairgrounds October 21st and 22nd. Visit rhodapsychicfair.com, get on the email list if you're not already on that list, and be informed not only about the upcoming fair, but about ongoing events, such as our next quarterly preview coming September 29th at the Monterey Elks Lodge. So get on that email list so you can stay informed about ongoing events. Speaking of an ongoing event this month, one of our partner operations, the Litha Fair, will be holding their fair in Santa Cruz. And so you can find out about that as well through the email list from the rhodapsychicfair.com. Well, enough said about that. I mean, here we are. We have really passed right through the first half of the year. We're right here at the 10th of July. We're almost at the middle of this month. Now, as many of you know, the first 6 months of the year are the creative cycle of the year. It's the time of the year when we set our intentions. We make our determinations consciously and unconsciously about where we want to go and where we want to head. And when we hit 1 July, we actually invoke the energy of the manifesting period of the year. So July through December is when we start to realize those intentions. Now, for those of us who are able to have a conscious focus those first 6 months, we will start seeing those intentions kind of realize themselves for us. But for the rest of us, who may not have had a conscious focus, we start seeing things shifting and changing, and we may not always know where we came from, but the underlying issue is they came from us. We are the creator of our own reality. And that leads me into Day by Day with James Allen. You see, in 1903, James Allen wrote his essay, As a Man Thinketh, taking the title from chapter 23, verse 7 of Proverbs, which says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. James Allen wanted us to remember that our present reality is always a direct outcome of our past thoughts and actions and habits and beliefs. However, our past thoughts, actions, habits, and beliefs do not predict our future. Our future reality is a direct outcome of our present thoughts, habits, beliefs, and action. So every day we have a fresh opportunity to create a new tomorrow. And in Day by Day with James Allen, his words from As a Man Thinketh have been broken up into a little segment for each day of the month. And for the 10th day of the month, he says, take the responsibility. See, a person is buffeted by circumstances so long as he believes himself to be the creature of outside conditions. I love this mostly for what it's telling us. Everything in life is about responsibility. In my new radio show on Blog Talk Radio on Sunday afternoons at 4 p.m., I've been talking about forgiveness. It just started last week, and the second show will also be talking about forgiveness. But you know what the key element of forgiveness is? Exactly what James Allen is sharing here. Take the responsibility. Whatever has happened in our life is a direct result of us. Oh, you may say, no, somebody did that to me, or somebody said that to me, or I couldn't have controlled that truck that hit my car. I understand that. But everything from the moment of the event forward is certainly our choice. What we do, what we learn, what we don't do, how we express it, how we absorb it, how we assimilate it, it's all our choice. And James Allen's telling us, take the responsibility. A person is buffeted by circumstances so long as he believes himself to be the creature of outside conditions. If everything is totally outside of my control, if nothing is ever a result of my actions, if I am simply someone who sits back in life and lets everything happen to me, then what life am I leading? I'm certainly not leading my life. Not everyone wants to grasp that or take that or accept that. I'm not saying nothing bad ever happened to you. I'm not saying someone never did anything that caused you some level of harm. But I am saying we take responsibility for what happened and we move forward. And that's an important component. I've shared many times that in order to move forward every day, I do several things. Every day, I do a forgiveness process, which I've talked about on air several times. The other thing is I do a gratitude process, which I've talked about on air several times. And the third thing, which I always talk about on air, is I read from the Daily Word. And the Daily Word put out by Unity always has something as a new thought for each day, which we can take as an affirmation, a thought to focus on, or maybe even a thought that we can take action on in that day. And today, from Monday, July 10th, the Daily Word says, now is the time. This is the place. I am the one. And that is a mantra for each and every one of us, especially in this manifesting time. Now is the time. This is the place. I am the one. No more excuses, no more what ifs, no more tomorrows. It's now. Just deal with it now. So for each and every one of us listening, take responsibility and know now is the time. This is the place and you are the one. And you're the one that can take charge and take control of your life. Speaking of taking charge and taking control, let's move into our segment for the day. Dr. Arne Buss received an undergraduate degree in psychology at Rutgers University and a PhD from Cornell University. He's been teaching at the undergraduate and graduate level for over 30 years. And his passion, however, is facilitating and teaching classes about interpersonal communications. He works with individuals and couples to resolve their interpersonal communication issues. And in the past 7 years, he's given presentations on interpersonal communication skills to a number of organizations from San Francisco on down to King City. And he joins us on the second Monday of each month with his segment, Speaking of Listening. So let's have some introductory music and then listen to Dr. Arne Buss and Speaking of Listening.
Listen to the song here in my heart, a melody I start but can't complete. Listen to the sound from deep within. It's only beginning to find relief.
Welcome to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar. As he said, I am your host for the segment, Arne Buss. And speaking of listening, what's that about? It's about ways of improving your relationships by listening from your heart. And I will be giving workshops and interpersonal facilitation. You can contact me at ahbuss@consciousawareheart.com. That's A-H-B-U-S-S, consciousawareheart, all one word. And you can visit my website at www.consciousawareheart.com. And listening I write with capital L because it's not just about hearing words, it's about being totally present and open to what message is being sent. And it's one of the most essential skills in any kind of communication. And in a dialogue, as opposed to two monologues, the idea is to really get what the other person is expressing. And what they're expressing is consists of their thoughts and their feelings and their judgments. And today I'm going to talk about three seemingly unrelated issues, and they are judgments, self-esteem, and what Carl Jung calls the shadow. And what prompted that was a quote from Carl Jung I saw recently that was posted. And the quote goes, "Thinking is difficult. That's why most people judge. Thinking is difficult. That's why most people judge." And that in turn led me to a few other quotes by Jung. He's kind of full of them, not full of it, but full of them. Those quotes relate to some of the other things I'm going to talk about today. And they are as follows. One thing he said was, "Everything that irritates us about others can lead us to an understanding of ourselves." I'll come back to that one. Another one is, "Knowing your own darkness is the best method for dealing with the darknesses of other people." And finally, he said, "The best political, social, and spiritual work we can do is to withdraw the projection of our shadow onto others." How are these all related? Let's go back to the first quote. "Thinking is difficult. That's why most people judge." Now, if you look up the dictionary definition of judge, it is to, as a verb, as opposed to a noun like Judge Judy or Judge Wapner, for those of us who are a little older, the dictionary definition of the verb judge is to form an opinion about, through careful weighing of evidence and testing of premises. Another definition is to hold an opinion or to sit in judgment on. So that doesn't sound all that bad. So why is Jung basically saying that judging is not so great? That's what people do instead of thinking. Well, in context, in the context of relationships and interpersonal communication, to judge has a negative connotation, and for a very good reason. And that is that to judge implies a criticism. So to judge is more like the third part, that is to sit in judgment on. And when you sit in judgment on someone, then you're basically judging them to be right or wrong, or you're judging what they're saying or thinking or even feeling to be right or wrong. Now, I mean, when a judge passes judgment, that's usually kind of a negative thing. And so in relationships, even though to judge something as to form an opinion through careful weighing of evidence and testing of premises, that sounds pretty good. But if you're in communication and you're judging what the other person is saying as being wrong, then that's a major stumbling stone to the communication. And if you really want to listen with a capital L, you really want to completely take in what the other person is expressing, then the judging them to be wrong will put you in a kind of mindset like, okay, they started expressing something, and I immediately judge that what they're saying is wrong. And if they're wrong, that means that my opinion about it, my thoughts on it, are actually the right ones. So rather than really listening and hearing what the other person is saying, what I'm doing is I'm kind of mentally formulating my response and how I can show how they're wrong and I'm right. And that's why in interpersonal communication, judging does have this negative connotation. In other words, in the context of Jung's quote, judge goes beyond simply having an opinion or discerning what's true and what's not true. It's more like being a judge with respect to another. Now, if you've ever been in a courtroom, you know that the judge wears this, this big fancy robe, and he or she will sit much higher up behind this big panel, and everybody else is kind of down low. There's a clear one-sidedness to this. The judge has all the power. In fact, sometimes that power is abused, but that's really a different issue. The issue here is that when you are sitting in judgment of another person, and that person is someone you're in a relationship with, then it's more ideal to be egalitarian. In other words, to be on the same level as they are, whereas to be a judge with respect to a defendant is to put yourself in a one-up position with respect to them. And the thing is that if, whether it's a partner or a friend or even an acquaintance, you're not above or below them. Even if you're their boss, that doesn't necessarily put you above them in a spiritual sense, in a sense of one human to another. If you're the boss of somebody and you have jobs and tasks that need to be done, of course it's your place to tell your employee, okay, here, or your subordinate, okay, this is what job needs to be done, and it's your responsibility to take care of that. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is a situation where you're dealing person to person. And interestingly, I'm not going to get into this too much, but the most effective managers and leaders are ones who don't put themselves above the others. Now, they understand that their role may be different, but they don't lord it over others, and they don't kind of bark out orders. I work a lot with the military, and even in the military, where your perspective of the military is a drill sergeant kind of barking out derogatory things to some scared recruits, and basic training is of course not a pantheon of effective communication. It's objective is something else. But when you get into issues of leadership, even in the military, effective leadership there does not consist of barking out orders and just having people say, yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, and just kind of following them. It really goes much, much more beyond that to be an effective leader. And again, I'm not going to go too deeply into that, other than to note that the same elements that of communication that make for an effective leader also make for an effective interpersonal relationship. And coming back to judging, to judge is to put yourself in a one-up position with respect to the other person. And what's interesting is that oftentimes the kind of pushback I get from that is to say, well, what do you mean? I can't have an opinion, judging is good because it's to form an opinion through weighing of evidence and testing of premises, or to come to a logical conclusion. And yes, that's the dictionary definition. But in practice, when you're judging the other person, then you are making them wrong. You're thinking of them as being wrong. And when you do that, you are not open to hearing what they have to say. Now, where does this come from? Well, that's where Jung's second quote appeals to me. Remember, he said, Everything that irritates us about others can lead us to an understanding of ourselves. So if you're hearing an opinion with which you disagree, and you're feeling annoyed, or you're feeling okay, your first response is, okay, I gotta refute this. I gotta show them how they're wrong. I gotta put this out. I'm only vaguely listening to the words. I'm thinking of a response, you know, or when I hear what they say, I'm immediately formulating a counter argument in my mind. Well, that's not effective listening. That's not what getting the message of them is about. And remember, when I talk about tracking and being an effective listener, it's all about validating. And validating does not mean that you agree. So to totally take in what the message is being sent, even if I disagree with it, then it doesn't mean that I can't validate it and try to understand where the other person is coming from. If I'm feeling irritated because I'm disagreeing internally with what I'm hearing, then that's about me to maybe piggyback a little bit on what Solazar was expressing before. If I'm irritated with somebody else, then that's all about me, 100%. It has nothing to do with what the other person is about. It has everything to do with myself. So why would I be irritated? Well, that's where Jung talks a lot about the shadow comes in. As a reminder, is the next one. Knowing your own darkness is the best method for dealing with the darkness of other people. So putting that together with the fact that if I'm irritated with what somebody else says, that's really that's like a pointer to something in myself, to a place of wounding or a shadow. And this shadow is something that Jung, of course, is very famous for. And according to him, we all have this shadow or a dark side. So how does that relate to self-esteem? Now, the implication of a lot of what I'm saying is that it takes a lot of self-esteem to be able to completely and effectively listen to somebody who's expressing something with which you disagree. Self-esteem is not the same as boastfulness or pride or ego. Self-esteem is the unconditional regard for the essence of who we each are. And the thing about self-esteem is that it really is a two-way street. Self-esteem doesn't put me above you. Self-esteem puts us on the same footing. And that's why it's a key thing here. Now, the fact that we all have this dark side, does that mean that we're bad people? Or is there something wrong if we have this shadow? Not at all. It just means that we all have a certain degree of darkness. We all have a certain degree of judgment. We all have a certain set of thoughts and opinions that if we really held them out to the light, they would make us cringe a little bit. And so the natural tendency is to kind of push them away. You know, you see complaints about so-called political correctness, and you know, I think there are some legitimate complaints about that, and there are other times when that accusation is not necessarily used in the most ideal possible way. It can often be an excuse for saying, you know, hurtful or racist or homophobic things. The real issue is that we all have these internal biases and prejudices. In fact, studies have shown them, in fact, that many of our prejudices are things that we're not completely conscious of and catch us by surprise. I heard a podcast recently where there was was an African-American policeman who had, in the wake of Ferguson, had to go to some training, you know, regarding implicit bias. And of course, he was kind of dismissive of the whole thing, you know, again, being African-American himself. He's saying, well, of course, I don't have prejudice. And he reported that after working with those Sabit, he was shocked to find that he actually had many of the same biases, racial biases, that his white colleagues had. And again, that's it's not saying he's a terrible person, but it was very, I found it very uplifting that he would be willing to talk about this and to admit that. And that gets back to Jung's issue with the shadow. And knowing your own darkness is the best method for dealing with the darkness of other people. And finally, Jung talks about the best political, social, and spiritual work we can do is to withdraw the projection of our shadow onto others. And that's where so much bigotry and bias and racism and homophobia come into there. It's projecting the shadow onto someone else. It doesn't make that okay, but to recognize that it is a projection every time that you see that, and if it really gets you, if it really hooks you, then that can be an indication of the shadow in you. And maybe you're thinking, well, I don't have a shadow. Well, I suggest you don't go, well, it's quite possible. The only ones I am aware of that might not have a shadow are completely enlightened masters of whom I do not know any personally. I know some who are very close. But the thing is that and again, getting back to Jung a little bit, I'm not really a Jungian, but it's just seeing that quote and reading some of his other quotes just reminded me that he has a lot to offer, and especially in this day and age, he has a lot to help guide us through some very difficult times. Because there, if you just read the news, there are so many. There are so many negative things that you can see happening. There are so many things where the shadow projection is so evident, and it's not just in the obvious ones. Although some of those are very, very rampant. You just have to read the headlines to see ego versus self-esteem at play, and shadow just being projected all over others. Yeah, again, they're obvious. If you read the headlines, and it seems pretty obvious. And yet, that's not the entire story. That's not the whole story. As they used to say, and I'm just at it, you know, that's the rest of the story. There's a rest of the story here. Now, how does this relate to interpersonal communication and listening? It relates in the following way. I've spoken of the inner critic that we have, and that ties to the shadow in the sense that the shadow run amok becomes this inner critic. And on the other hand, if we embrace the shadow, if we hold it up to the light and recognize that it's there, then without judgment, then we can move beyond it. So it's not a matter of right or wrong, or saying that this is bad, or I'm bad, or you're bad. It's a matter of simply noticing. As it applies to listening, if we are listening to someone with whom we disagree, the only way that it can have any chance of enhancing the relationship is if one or both of you are listening without judgment, to get back to the, you know, to Jung's quote, listening without judgment, listening by accepting, listening by really getting the entire message of what the other person is expressing. Because that doesn't mean that our opinion is wrong. It doesn't mean that we have to accept what is being expressed. What I am proposing is that we understand what is being expressed. And not only that, that we understand what is being expressed, we validate what is being expressed, not agreeing, but validating, which lets the other person know that we have heard and that we have understood, and not necessarily agreed, but at least we've heard and we do see things, we understand things from the other person's point of view. And the thing is that when you really delve deeply into many of these things, this shadow projection that Jung talks about is just there running rampant. Course in Miracles talks about how at the very, very bottom, there are really only two emotions. One is love and one is fear. It's like some kind of continental divide of emotions. So whenever you say something, it can be either from love or from fear. And whenever you hear something, it can be from a place of love or from a place of fear. And so many of the things that we hear that are troubling to us at their bottom come from a place of fear. Now that doesn't mean that it's important to stand up for many of the bad things that are happening. You know, so even when I say bad, that's a judgment. Things like, you know, racism and homophobia and xenophobia, all of which seem to be on the rise in this country, are not heading, those are manifestations of some kind of collective shadow that Jung also talks about in other places. And the unacknowledged shadow expresses itself in some of these ways that are just not okay. And yet, the most effective way to respond is not to so-called fight fire with fire, but to respond with empathy, validation, compassion, which don't change the idea of moving towards a higher vibration, for lack of a better word. In other words, being driven by the shadow takes you towards a lower vibration place. Whereas listening without judgment, acknowledging the shadow, and choosing your words and your actions leads to a higher vibration. It leads to more empathy. It leads to more compassion. And in itself will naturally lead to a better, a more effective way of being with each other in the light of having differences. So, I mean, how do we deal with these differences? Well, one way is to start listening to each other. It's very easy to hold a judgmental opinion about a person or a group about which we know nothing or very little, or about which we really, all we know is some kind of stereotypical perspective. If you dialogue with those others, then they stop becoming others. And so much of the shadow, so much of the negative energy is this sort of us versus them. You know, those people, whoever those people are. And the antidote that I'm proposing is communication. The antidote I'm proposing is to start by listening. And listening from the heart means from coming from a place of esteem, not ego, not putting yourself down. Coming from a place where you're seeing yourself as unconditional positive regard. That can be a very challenging thing. It's easy to say that. It's a little more challenging when you're interacting with someone who really has opinions that drive you up a wall. And remember, anything that drives you up a wall like that is saying something more about you. That's all about you and not about them. So judgment, in the sense of discerning, is obviously a positive thing. Because to discern something is generally a good thing. It can be just a matter of opinion. I mean, it's the kind of food you like, the kind of music you like. You know, is country music better than rap? Some say yes, some say no. Some people like both of them. That's neither right nor wrong. It's an opinion. One might say a judgment. But the negative effect of judgment is not, you know, do I like apple pie or pecan pie or, cherry ice cream or Rocky Road. It comes down to where, okay, if you like country music, then you're a bad person. Or if you like rap music, then you're a bad person. If you like apple pie, then you're a good person. If you like cherry pie, you're a bad person. Seems kind of silly when you say it that way. So the judgment that Jung is talking about is the making of wrong, the criticism. As a stumbling stone to communication, it's hearing something and kind of mentally disagreeing instead of putting judgment aside and hearing what the other person has to say. You never know. You may hear something that may change your opinion. You may hear something and just kind of try on the other point of view for a change. And at the very least, you'll be able to see things more from the other person's point of view. And I wish there were more of that in this world. And that's my judgment. So today I've been riffing on judgments, on the shadow, on self-esteem, and how they all play into being an effective listener. I think they're all important elements to consider. And certainly in my case, we're kind of working on my own shadow by exposing it, by the work with the inner critic and some of the other spiritual work that I have engaged in, it has led me to a place where I'm more able to be empathetic to what I'm hearing, even when it's something with which I disagree. It's an ongoing process, of course. As I said, only the most enlightened masters have moved beyond this. And I think it's not a big surprise, but I am not an enlightened master, at least not yet, maybe someday. Regardless, that is my story today. And you have been listening to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio. I so appreciate you joining me today. You can hear Speaking of Listening every second Monday at a little after 5 right here on Good Vibrations Radio. To learn more, you can email me at ahbuss@consciousawareheart.com. That's A-H-B-U-S-S, Conscious Aware Heart, all one word. On Facebook, I'm Aware Heart, and on Twitter, I'm Effect5Comm, E-F-F-E-C-T, the number 5, C-O-M-M, and my website is www.consciousawareheart.com. And until next time, remember, listen with your heart.
You should have listened. There is someone here inside, someone I thought had died so long ago.
So that was Dr. Ernie Buss, and speaking of listening, as he mentioned, he's here the second Monday of each month on Good Vibrations Radio. You know, it's interesting that some of what he spoke about is a lot of what I addressed also, and pieces of what I addressed in my discussion of forgiveness on Sunday's show, and again on this coming Sunday show. I'd like to add a couple of tidbits of what I believe. It doesn't run counter to anything Dr. Buss offered or what he quoted from Jung, but it's more my nuance of it, especially as it comes to judgment. When I looked at the definition of judgment, judgment really has a characteristic that, based on some level of information we have, we're able to discern a distinction between things. So when we judge a car that we're going to buy, or judge a house, or choose a career or a college, we've looked into information and we've gathered things and we make a judgment about it, that I want to go in this direction. So it always seemed to me that when we judge people, the danger is we're making a presumption that we're the expert about that person, that we know what they're feeling, that we know what they're thinking, that we know what their motivation is. And that's why judgment, as it relates to people, is always flawed and it's always inappropriate, because we don't know. We know what we feel. We know what we think. We know what our motivation, or we may be pretty close to knowing what our motivation may or may not be, but we'll never know why the other person fully did what they did in that situation. At some time in life, they might tell us, but even then, it's not truly where they were at that moment in time. So we should never judge another. And from the perspective of forgiveness that I'll be dealing with in the show on Sunday, when we're unwilling to forgive another, it's because we have two levels of need. One is we need to judge them, which is to say, I know exactly what you were doing, and therefore I'm the expert about you. And the second is, we have a need to just be a victim so we can put the woe is me sweater on and wear it around and have people pat us on the head and tell us what a poor thing we are. Oh, it's so terrible. So we can elicit sympathy. So I just wanted to share that my take on judgment of others is really, we don't have the information to even consider ourselves a judge of others. You know, if we're a counselor assessing them, that's different. If we're some kind of specialized person assessing people, that's not a judgment. But when you and I are angry about something or someone and we start judging them, we're putting ourselves in a position that we're not qualified to be. And that's the expert about that person. So just wanted to share that. I think that that's important when we get into that whole aspect of judging. You know, from an astrological perspective, while there's always aspects going on in the planets throughout the week, for the most part this week is really still working through the energy of our weekend full moon. Now, Pacific time, it was 9:06 p.m. Pacific time Saturday evening when we had our full moon in Capricorn, and 12:08 a.m. Eastern time, when we had our full moon in Capricorn. And there are several things going on besides just the full moon. Now, as you've heard me say, the full moon, of course, is always a time of heightened emotions. It's a time when the moon dips inside and pulls up some of those long-buried emotional feelings that we haven't fully expressed or realized in the world. The good part is that the moon was in Capricorn, which is a good, steady, persistent, grounding energy. It's an earth energy. It keeps us very well grounded, our feet on the ground. But this time, we also had Mars and Sun, both in Cancer, and we had Pluto and the Moon, both in Capricorn. So we had that vibrant energy with the Sun of our Mars, our warlike, our aggressive energy, our do-it energy, in Cancer, a deeply emotional sign. And then we had Pluto, the planet of death and transformation and rebirth, along with the moon in that earth sign of Capricorn. So we've got a lot of emotions at play here, even though we've got this grounding Capricornian energy. And the challenge with that is that that energy is going to carry through this week. People are going to find themselves a little on edge, a little uncertain. Now, for those who have been planning things or trying to plan things or initiate things, that Mars-Sun energy is going to help propel you forward. For those who don't have any plans, you may feel a little anxiousness, anxiety, and uncertainty because you're feeling pulled, but you just don't know where you want to go. If you also have been working steadily on the details of a particular plan, you're going to find the pieces starting to fall into place. If you haven't been working diligently on something, but you've been taking shortcuts or just thinking about it, you may find that it may start coming apart and you have to put some energy into replanning, refocusing on the details to do the real work and not take the shortcuts. All of this is going through this week we're going to be carrying, so you may reap some rewards as a result of that full moon. At the same time, you may want to watch the things you say and the things you do until we get past this period of this week, till we can ground a little bit more. Your hard work will be recognized thanks to Capricorn. You may have some big rewards, but goats like cliffs, and Capricorn is all about the goat. They like cliffs and they like steep heights, so it may feel a little unsteady at times as we move forward. Just give it a few days, work through it, be cautious about what you express and how you express it, and just continue to allow yourself to have gratitude each day, to give forgiveness, because when we forgive, another thing about the forgiveness I didn't mention, the important thing about forgiveness is not the other person or persons, it's about you. Forgiveness, it's about allowing ourselves to release the tension, the anger, the resentment, the hurt, so that we are no longer wounded. And so forgiveness is the gift you give to you. So give yourself forgiveness every day. Give yourself gratitude for your life every day. And remember to find something positive to make a frame of reference or focus for each day that you live. So I want to thank you for listening to Good Vibrations Radio. Next Monday, we'll have Joyce Muse, our resident astrologer, who will be sharing with us the energy for the rest of this month and potentially going into August. It all depends on how much she's able to cover, but I know she wants to talk about those August eclipses. They're big deals. So she'll be with us next Monday from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific time. And I want to thank you once again for listening. Take message and information from this show. Turn the lead in your life into gold. Many blessings to you. Namaste.